WBH Radio Podcast. My name is William Holly. You're listening to episode number 3. Hope everybody's doing all right. Man, I'm starting to look forward to this mic every week. The NFL games were great this past weekend. You know, when I was growing up, I was a shy kid. I didn't like attention at all, whether it was positive or negative. You know, I got a little bit better as I got older, but that reluctance was still there. So when I was playing college basketball, people always talked about the home court advantage of playing in front of your family, your school. But no, I never saw that as an advantage. I really preferred playing on the road and being anonymous, really, where nobody knew your name. And if you really took care of business while you were on the road, if you really brought it and were beating that team, their home crowd would be silent, dead silent, nothing to cheer for. So I thoroughly enjoyed watching the Jacksonville Jaguars roll over the Pittsburgh Steelers this past weekend in the Pittsburgh Steelers Stadium. The Jags jumped on the Steelers early with a 21-0 lead and never looked back. The crowd was shell-shocked, quiet. All the energy was sucked out of that building. The Steelers, they eventually fought back, but the Jags were just too much, winning 45-42. One thing I miss most about competing, it's not only the chess match that is going on between you and your opponent, but the calculations that are taking place within your own team, your own huddle, trying to figure out which players match well, which teammates you work best with, matching personalities. You know, I may have a weakness and you have a weakness, but when we come together, we can be greater than the sum of our parts. Together, you know, we could be special. And word around the league is the Jaguars quarterback, Blake Bortles, sucks. I mean, NFL analysts question him, opposing defenders mock him, but his teammates are unfazed by that. You know, especially the Jaguars defensive players, guys like Jalen Ramsey and Calais Campbell. You know, they told us, don't worry about our quarterback. We got his back. If that means we have to carry a little bit more of the load, then we'll do so. And the Jags defense definitely did that on Sunday. They created 2 turnovers. One turnover was a fumble recovery that ended up being a touchdown. That's turning defense into offense, you know, giving that team an advantage. If your quarterback is limited, creating turnovers gives them more opportunities to score. You know, creating a turnover gives them a shorter field to work with. Instead of your quarterback having to go 80 yards to score, now he only has to go 40. You know, and the defense definitely played a great role in helping that team to win that game. You know, what else is a quarterback's best friend? A great running attack. A run game to buffer the pass game. Jaguars running back Leonard Fournette showed out. 25 carries, 109 yards with three touchdowns. You know, for many of us, it's easy to point a finger and talk about what we don't have. Or my coach sucks, my quarterback sucks. But if you're truly a great player, you look in the mirror first. You make sure you're doing all you can to support your team and give them a chance to win. The Jaguars say, yeah, our quarterback is limited, but as a collective, y'all can't see us. The Jags showed us everything that is special about sports. You know, the underdog going into unfriendly territory and shocking the world. Teamwork, togetherness, it was just straight up toughness all around. I definitely look forward to that matchup against the New England Patriots next weekend. But yo, let's get serious for a minute. The Jaguars, that was a great story, yeah. But the true story is, how much the Pittsburgh Steelers underachieved. How much of a bad loss that was for them. But to be honest, that's not even surprising. Underachieving has been the story for the Pittsburgh Steelers under head coach Mike Tomlin. They have a great quarterback, possibly the best running back and best wide receiver in the league with Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. Nobody else in the league has a trio like that. In fact, the last time we seen a trio like that was Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith, and Michael Irvin with the Dallas Cowboys back in the early 90s. And those boys managed to win 3 Super Bowls. Nobody in current day has the weapons like the Pittsburgh Steelers. Drew Brees don't have a receiver. Aaron Rodgers don't have a running back or a receiver. And in New England, it's just Brady and Gronk. But who else? So the Steelers to have one of the most prolific units in the league and not be able to get over the hump is truly disappointing. And yo, there's no shame in losing. I'm not talking about losing. Everybody wins, everybody loses. Biggest crime is underachieving. And that's been the story under Pittsburgh coach Mike Tomlin. And nobody really calls Mike Tomlin out on this. Anybody wonder why? Yo, I have a theory. My theory is, you know, racism is alive and well in this country. Everybody knows that. But I've always felt for fair-minded people in a racist world, they have to be cognizant of the appearance of racism. So let's call a spade a spade. The NFL media is predominantly white. Mike Tomlin is a black man, one of the few black men in a head coach position in the NFL. So if they thought about calling for Mike Tomlin's job in the media, they got to look around and say, damn, son, how would the public take this? Would they think I was just doing my job, or would they might consider my take racist? You know what? I'll pass on it. I'll give Mike Tomlin a pass. I won't even speak on it. Tomlin's team seem to always lack discipline. Last year, his wide receiver was recording a Facebook Live video during a post-game speech by the coach. A post-game speech in which the coach was telling him to lay low, let's keep everything in-house. Yet that video got out to the public, and that was a storm that the Steelers had to face that they shouldn't have. Also in 2003, Mike Tomlin was fined $100,000 for interfering with an opposing player running up the sideline. A lot of people think it was him trying to trip the player. Yo, coaches, leaders of teams, they shouldn't be caught up in that muck. People that defend Mike Tomlin, they say, yo, he's a Super Bowl champ. Yo, I'm so tired of that defense. Let's keep it real. Somebody wins a championship every year. It's not that impressive. You don't get a lifetime seal of approval because you won one. In fact, let's talk about Tomlin's chip. He won a championship early on in his career with the Steelers. But prior to him joining that team, the Steelers had won a Super Bowl not too long before his arrival. So the quarterback was already in place. The championship culture was already there. You know, you can't credit Tomlin for that. Let's truly judge him based off what the organization has done since he's been there, and he's been able to put his fingerprints on the franchise. And since he's got there, they've been trending in the opposite direction. Okay, there was a Super Bowl loss. There was a wild card loss. There was 2 years of no playoffs at all. Then another wild card loss, divisional loss, championship game loss, and most recently this divisional loss. Early exit after early exit. Yo, and we know the Patriots are the cream of the crop of the AFC, so if he fell short to them, we could understand. But yo, only one of those losses were to the Patriots. All of the other early exits were to teams that the Steelers could have easily beat and should have beat, just like this past weekend. And you got to understand, with head coaches, they come from a background of either offense or defense. So if you have an offensive background, we understand if you struggle to coach the defensive side, because that's not your forte. But Mike Tomlin, he has a defensive background. He was a defensive coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings. So, Mike Tomlin, your offensive team, the offensive side of the ball is set. You got Ben Roethlisberger, Le'Veon Bell, and Antonio Brown. That's the easy part. You got that set. The defense should be no issue, yet you let the Jacksonville Jaguars hang 45 points on y'all. The defense was Swiss cheese, and that's supposed to be your forte. Yo, that's inexcusable, man. I don't know how long he's going to get a pass, but lucky him. And, yo, the biggest indictment against Mike Tomlin, you know, over the past few years, his quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger, has been flirting with retirement. Retirement? Yo, Ben is one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And at that time, he was in his prime, 32 years old, 35. You know, I already mentioned he had the best running back, the best wide receiver. He's in line to cash in on $100 million, and he ready to walk? You know what that tells me? That tells me that that circus was too much for him to handle. Ben was tired of holding down the fort together with freaking gum and glue like he had to do this past Sunday. In fact, yo, this past Sunday, he was phenomenal. 469 yards, 5 touchdowns against the toughest defense in the league. Ben Roethlisberger being willing to walk shows me that the leaders in that organization are not leading, and it's just too draining. And that's Mike Tomlin. And the Steelers in a tough position, because the Steelers, you know, one of the prestigious organizations in the NFL, they're known for not firing coaches. You know, they keep coaches for 15 years at a time. And not only that, but they are very proud of being the architects of the Rooney Rule, the rule that says minority candidates should be interviewed for all senior level positions on an NFL team. So how would it look if that organization, the architect of the Rooney Rule, go ahead and fire a minority coach? But the Jags, they showed us everything that was great. I mentioned the Jags, they showed everything that was great about sports, about football, teamwork. But on the other end, another game showed us everything I hate about sports. The Saints and Vikings, they played what many believe was a great game. It was a great game until the end. That just broke my heart. When I watch sports, I want to see the best performing at their best. You know, like a heavyweight fight, everybody going round for round. Now, of course, there has to be a winner. There has to be a loser. but I don't want to see any shame. You know, when you think of Ali and Frazier, yeah, somebody won, somebody lost, but they're both kings. You know, they could walk with their head held high. Magic and Bird, there's winners and losers, but there's no shame. Everybody's a king. That Saints-Vikings game produced the GOAT. Somebody is going to have to live in infamy forever, and that's the safety for the New Orleans Saints, Marcus Williams. If you didn't see it, the Vikings were down late in the game, about 10 seconds left. All metrics said they were going to lose that game. They threw a pass. All the Saints defender had to do, Marcus Williams, all he had to do was tackle the receiver, and the game's over. But instead, he whiffed on the tackle, and the Vikings receiver ran in for a touchdown. Yo, Marcus Williams cost his team the game. He could have literally just sat behind the receiver, waited for him to catch it, tackle him, and the game was over. That simple. But he completely missed the tackle and blew it. And I feel for that dude, because that's the type of stuff that could stunt his career. His name is going to be forever attached to that play, how he cost his team the game. Now, he could have made that same play in the first quarter and nobody would know his name. But just because it happened at the end, man, that's tough. In fact, the Saints were down in that game and they led a comeback. The comeback was spearheaded by an interception that Marcus Williams made early in the game. You think they're going to remember that? Nah. Yo, I felt for him, man. If you saw at the end of the game, you could see once the reporters got to him, his eyes were red, probably had been crying. Dude was just broken. You got to go in your locker room and face your teammates after you fought all year and they come down to that one play. Yeah, that's a tough position to be in, man. I feel for that kid. Welcome back. I'm your host, William Holly, man. You're listening to the WBH Radio Podcast, episode number 3. A lot of great games last week and a lot of great games. The Falcons and Eagles played an interesting one. The Eagles walked away with a victory, winning 15-10. You know, kudos to them. They were the number one seed. They lost their star quarterback. But the true story is that how the Atlanta Falcons really missed out on an opportunity. Odds makers had the Atlanta Falcons as the favorite in that game. Yo, that never happens in the playoffs for a road team. The Atlanta Falcons have the superior quarterback and the superior wide receiver. They were playing a team in the Eagles who were playing with their second string quarterback. They lost to a team whose quarterback, he's not even the best quarterback on his team in his locker room. They lost to the number two guy. That's completely unacceptable. What's most frustrating is that the Atlanta Falcons are coming off a year where they are a part of the biggest collapse in Super Bowl history. The Falcons were up 28-3 in the Super Bowl in 2017, and they lost. That on record, that is the biggest collapse in Super Bowl history. We've never seen anything like it. So to couple that with this loss, losing to a team you were favored to beat, losing to a team who didn't even have his best quarterback, that's two frustrating years back-to-back. So if I'm that team's fan base, how can I get excited about next year? How can I get excited about our quarterback coming back, Matt Ryan? How can we get excited about our head coach coming back? Those guys had two monumental failures. If I'm a player on that team, I'm like, yo, this group just can't get it done. You know, they say good is the antithesis of great. And that's what the Falcons, they're a cute, good team. You know, they'll get you through the regular season, put together some wins, but they're never going to be great. They've shown us that already, blowing the biggest lead in Super Bowl history. Now, if the Falcons, they want to continue to sell some season tickets, okay, Matt Ryan, quarterback. But if y'all want to get over the mountain, it's time to blow this up. You can't come back with the same team. Cannot. 28-3 leading the Super Bowl, and then you guys caught a break facing the number one team without their number one quarterback. You couldn't seal the deal. What else y'all want? The Patriots handled business as usual, beating the Tennessee Titans 35-14. No surprise there. They usually dominate when they're supposed to. But what I found most interesting and funny is that there was some turmoil this past week coming out of the Patriots camp. Quarterback Tom Brady went over his head coach's head and went to the owner of the team and told the owner, yo, Mr. Robert Kraft, I want my backup quarterback traded. I know you guys are cutthroat when it comes to agents, stars. You get rid of them at the drop of a hat. So that guy behind me that you think is going to replace me one day, I want him out of here. And the owner of the Patriots ordered the head coach, Bill Belichick, to trade him. So I'm sure there was a rift there. It was reported, like, yo, these guys not really seeing eye to eye. Yet, they were still able to go out there and get a victory. Yo, I love that. In a day and age where there's so much emphasis on being liked, The Patriots show you that, yo, being liked is not important. What's most important is, can you perform? Can you do your job? Even with the turmoil, everybody went out and did what they were supposed to do. Yo, I'm always amazed. Like, you go in a restaurant, people are like, yo, my waiter was just so great. Like, she studies architects, she writes poetry. Like, yo, all of that's irrelevant. Just, did she bring my food in a timely fashion? Strictly business. And that's what the Patriots showed us, man. That's what the Patriots showed us. That took me back to my days in the military, man. It ain't all about all these pleasantries and stuff. Yo, we just here to get the job done. Whether I like you or not, it is irrelevant. Yo, you ever wrote an email in civilian life? You gotta be like, yo, hey, how you doing? Hope all is well. Happy holidays. You 10 lines in before you get to what you really were writing about. Before you get to what you wanted in the email. In the military, yo, straight up, hey, get this done, confirm when completed. And that's what the Patriots really went out there and did. On some real militant, man. I really enjoyed watching that. Yo, we ain't gotta like each other. We here for the common cause. Get the victory. This past Monday, we celebrated Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. Yo, when we talking greatest human beings ever, Dr. King gotta be on that list, don't he? I don't even know what the list looked like, but he at the top. In all seriousness, though, that man was selfless. You know, he fought for what he believed in, stood for what was right, and he was fearless. Yo, the government was watching him. He knew them folks were coming for him, and he wouldn't stop. He wouldn't stop pushing his mission and his message of equality. And I think that's a level of principle that we haven't seen since. Dr. King could have just stayed in his church, drove a caddy, and lived happily ever after. But he never gave up on his cause. He never gave up on you and I. And for that, I'm truly thankful. I tried to look a little deeper and figure out, yo, how come Dr. King was so successful? It seems like back then, they were able to accomplish so much during very turbulent times. Today, it seems like we can't really get anything accomplished. Well, not to the degree in which they did back then. And what I came up with, you know, Dr. King was a great strategist. He had foresight. You know, he was able to map out and to devise a plan to put his people in positions he felt they deserved. And not only was he able to strategize, but many of his plans started with turning to his own people and getting them to exercise their power and leverage. You know, one might ask, yo, Will, what power do we have? Aha. You know, we all have power, especially today. For one, the power we express with our vote, and two, the power we express fiscally with our money. So going back to the Montgomery bus boycott, Dr. King turned to his people and said, yo, let's show the city our value. We're not going to ride their buses. King wasn't begging the opposition to do right because it's the right thing to do. If you're waiting for the enemy to wake up and say, okay, I'll be better because it's the right thing to do, well, shit, I got a bridge in Brooklyn I want to sell you. King showed us that you have to demand the opposition's attention. You have to twist their arm. And he did that by turning to his people and say, yo, we're going to exercise our power, our leverage. Any idea how long that boycott lasted? Over a year, people couldn't ride the bus in Montgomery, Alabama. Can you imagine the inconvenience that took? The level of sacrifice? The black community had to band together, give rides to strangers. Some people were lending their cars out. Yo, organizing carpools. People hitchhiking. Because that's the level of sacrifice they were willing to take to get what they wanted. You know, today's day and age, some of us, we won't even wait 15 minutes for our coworker. Like, yo, man, you better hurry up or you're going to have to take that bus on your own. Nah, these people banded together. And again, Dr. King, all his movements, they started with us, the power within. And by boycotting the bus, they were able to put economic distress on the city. And, you know, that's how the movement was victorious. So bringing it back to sports, if I follow Dr. King's methods, if I understand correctly, yo, it always comes back to us exercising our power and our leverage. You know, this past year, the NFL players frustrated me to no end. I mean, always crying and complaining about, yo, the league don't care about me. They treating us like slaves. Well, okay, NFL players, what y'all willing to do about that? What y'all willing to do about that? Dr. King didn't, he wasn't begging the enemy to come around. He exercised his power. So last year in July, Seattle Seahawks cornerback Richard Sherman said, he came out and he said, yo, talking to his peers, his NFL players, yeah, I know we're going to have to strike if we want to get what we want to get, right? Crickets. No retweets. Nobody said, yo, Rich, you right. Nothing. You know what? That takes sacrifice. You know, the players were thinking, like, strike? You mean miss a game check? How I'm going to keep buying these Louis bags if I miss a game check? How I'm going to make it rain in the club if I miss a game check? So NFL players, if y'all not willing to sacrifice, if y'all not willing to exercise your leverage, how you ever going to get what you want? You know, I sat back and I watched that Jaguars game, the Jaguars versus the Steelers. And there's a receiver on the Pittsburgh team. His name is Juju Smith-Schuster. He had a touchdown. And then I mentioned Leonard Fournette. He plays for the Jaguars. He had 3 touchdowns that day. And you know what those two have in common? They're represented by the sports agency, Roc Nation Sports, spearheaded by rap mogul Jay-Z. Yo, to me, that's as much a part of the civil rights movement as any protest. That's Jay-Z saying, yo, we're not giving our intellectual property, our talents to the opposition. We're going to keep that in-house. We're going to keep that in-house. We're not going to play 20 years and then talk about, yo, my agent robbed me. No. We're keeping the power over here. You know, same thing with LeBron. LeBron James, we can debate where he is in NBA annals. But when it comes to business, man, that boy good. If you don't know LeBron James, his agent is one of his close friends, Rich Paul. And early in LeBron James' career, when he came in, he had a traditional agent. But he turned to his boy and he said, yo, if you go study, if you go learn the game, you could be my agent. What's that? Foresight. Strategy like Dr. King. Exercising power and leverage. So I'm sure there was time LeBron was in the club having fun and his friend had to be somewhere studying, learning the game, sacrificing. So now when LeBron gets a deal and he has to pay that agent's commission, he's paying it to his family member, to his boy, keeping that money in-house, not giving it to the enemy, to the opposition. Yo, it's scary. Every time you turn on the TV, man, you think the sky is falling. This politician ain't doing this. This guy is doing... But yo, if I got the message clear from Dr. King, the power's within. You know, I think I've quoted Jay-Z on every episode so far, so I got another one for you. Even when Hov was on his last album, 444, what I enjoyed most about it is he was talking to his own people. He was talking to the young rappers on one line. He's like, I know the record execs are giving you raw deals. I know, but you know what? We don't have to keep running to them. We don't have to keep getting robbed by them. You know, he had a line. He said, y'all still signing deals? Still? After all they done stole for real? After what they done to Allover and Hill? And y'all niggas is supposed to be trill? Like, you can't keep running to that brick wall. You know, the record execs, they robbed Lauryn Hill, and you gonna go over there, and then 10 years later, yo, man, they took from me. No. It's time for us to be proactive. Strategize, the same way Dr. King taught us. So Dr. King, man, I got the message loud and clear. With a little sacrifice, a little hard work, determination, fearlessness, we could accomplish great things, man. Be right back. Welcome back, WBH Radio. My name is William Holly. Just want to tie up some loose strings before we get out of here. Getting into that home stretch of the NBA season. Warriors and Cavs played Monday. Warriors pulling it out 118-108. You know, for the fans, it was a good game. They were tired going into the fourth quarter at 93 points. But, yo, if I'm projecting it forward, the Cavs are in trouble. You know, even with them being tired going into the fourth quarter, that's with the Cavs playing damn near perfect game. You know, Isaiah Thomas was doing his thing, 19. LeBron James was up at 26, 28 points while shooting 66% from the field. 66% from the field is impressive. And even with that production, they fell short. Even being at home, they fell short. And what was most impressive about the Warriors was that down the stretch, it wasn't Steph Curry and Kevin Durant that put the Cavaliers away. It was a whole bunch of David West, Sean Livingston. I think even Nick Young, Swaggy P, put some clutch buckets in at the end. That team is just too deep. The Warriors just got too many bodies, too many people that can produce for the Cavaliers to match up. You know, the margin of error for the Cavaliers is just so small. Any mistake here or there, and they're down 10 points. Now, is it impossible that they can compete in June and take the championship from the Warriors? No. But it's just going to have to, it's going to take a Herculean effort from LeBron. It's going to take a LeBron James that we haven't seen in a mighty long time. Yo, the best LeBron James I ever seen didn't take place in any championship year. It took place his first time around with the Cleveland Cavaliers when they beat the Detroit Pistons in the Eastern Conference Finals. That was one game where LeBron James scored 25 points in a row. Everybody in the gym knew where the ball was going and they could not stop it. That's impressive. That's the LeBron James we're going to have to see. What I liked about that moment when in the Eastern Conference Finals is that the game dictated that LeBron be a scorer and he accepted the challenge. The LeBron we see now is kind of stubborn. He's kind of stuck in his way. He only wants to play the way that he likes. He wants to be a facilitator. Yo, LeBron, you don't have that luxury as a leader, man. Your team determines what you do on the court. If the lineup on the court says, yo, LeBron, you got to be a scorer, that's what you got to do. You know, you can't just say, well, hey, guys, I'm a playmaker, and that's what I feel comfortable doing. You got to be willing to be uncomfortable. Yo, one of the most impressive performances in NBA history and in sports history was by Magic Johnson. I didn't see this firsthand, of course, because I was too young. But when I went back, it was in Magic Johnson's rookie year. We all know Magic, Showtime Lakers, playmaker, no-look passes. Damn near invented the point guard position, you know, revolutionized it. He was a facilitator, and he was partnered with the league's MVP, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. The league's MVP that season, best player in the league. And not only that, but Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is the leading scorer in NBA history. More than Michael Jordan, more than Kobe Bryant. So they're in the finals, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar suffers an ankle injury. He can't play. The Lakers are up 3-2, and the coach turns to Magic Johnson and says, yo, I need you to replace Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I need you to replace the league's MVP, the leading scorer in NBA history. I need you to do that. That's what he turned to his point guard and said. And you know what Magic did? Challenge accepted. Magic Johnson, as the point guard, went out to center court, jumped the ball, played all five positions that game, ended up scoring a game-high 42 points, grabbing 15 rebounds, and handed out 7 assists. He didn't turn the coach and say, nah, man, I'm just a point guard, man. I ain't doing that scoring. Nah, man, he was, by any means, whatever my team needs, that's what I'm going to do. And we haven't seen that from LeBron. You know, he's kind of just stuck in his way, and that's unfortunate. That's unfortunate. If your team needs you to go 25 points, 30 points, whatever it takes, you got to be willing to do that. You can't just hang around the three-point line. What Magic did to fill in for the center, yo, if he'd done that in this day and age with all social media, that'd have been the greatest thing ever. Yo, I really think that performance is one of the more underappreciated performances in sports history. That's the LeBron we're going to need to see. That's the LeBron we saw in those Eastern Conference Finals years ago when he scored 25 points in a row. That's what it's going to take, that Herculean effort for him and the Cavs to topple the Warriors in the finals this year. And last year in the finals, there was reports about, yo, LeBron is playing too many minutes. We have to watch his playing time. First off, LeBron, you take weeks off in the regular season, and you tell us it's all about the playoffs. So you should be well-rested. But let's keep it a buck. Everybody gets tired in basketball. Everybody gets tired. That's the chess match. Like when you get tired, that's when it's time for you to adjust your game. We already see it when LeBron doesn't guard the opposing team's best player into the fourth quarter, even though Kawhi Leonard and all these guys guard him all game. But okay, so that's one method. But if you're tired, Bron, that's when you adjust your game. Stop dribbling the ball up the court like you a point guard. You reserve your energy. You get a ball to somebody else, and you walk up the court, and you get into a scoring position, not with the extra dribbling. Yo, Michael Jordan, we know all the highlights of him, his aerial assault, dunking on dudes. But yo, when he had his most success, when he was winning championships, that's when his physical attributes diminished. That's when he started to play smarter. That's when, you know what, I'm going to get in the post. My team needs me on this court. I can't jump as high, run as fast. So I'm going to conserve my energy. I'm going to get in the post where it's easy to score. LeBron James is still hell-bent on playing point guard and then talking about he's tired. You got to adjust your game. Do any and anything it takes for your team to be victorious, man. The excuses got to stop coming out of that camp. You've been the best player for 12 years and you only got 3 chips to show for it. That ain't enough, man. It can be done this summer, and I can't wait to watch. Thanks for listening to this episode. Follow me on Twitter. Check out my YouTube page, WBH Radio, @WBH Radio. I'm out.